You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how he got a flip with nothing down.
That's right, Charles. And he'll talk about how he used creative financing to handle the rehab costs also. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Harmer.
With me always is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. He's an awesome guy. He's a real estate investor and so many cool things. And I'm just so excited to be doing this episode with him again. William, brother, how wonderful are you doing today?
I'm super excited to be here as always, Charles. And yeah, I always kind of feel like maybe we should switch the intro so I can introduce you instead of the other way around, because I feel like I start out partially as a guest, but really we're like, maybe we should switch that so you can feel like partially the guest. But yeah, super excited to be on today and to have a conversation about, I think we're going to talk about a flip house that I just got done flipping and is on market. So thought maybe it'd be fun to kind of go over the numbers and talk about the surprises and the way that I bought it and how it turned out.
Man, this is awesome, man. I'm really looking forward to this, William, because I know that when you did this flip, like, you know, sometimes we think, you know, it's going to be this easy. And I remember certain times you told me you ran into this situation and this is what you do to overcome it. And then sometimes the timeline ended up being much longer. And so I think our listeners are really going to want to hear this because, you know, a flip is such a great way to get a lot of cash to invest. Yeah. And I think hearing how to do it right, because you have that experience with it, I think it's going to be very, very helpful to our listeners, man. So I'm personally looking forward to hearing all the details on this, man.
Well, I'll share as much as I can. Again, I kind of tried to document this as much as I could because I wanted to show the wins, but not only the wins, the mistakes that were made, because you make them pretty much every time you do a flip. And so I wanted to be sure to be like super open about like all the mistakes and the just show that it happens and the decisions I'm potentially made to adjust and make it actually work. So yeah, super excited to dive into that. And yeah, it was a very impromptu buy actually. I think I closed on this right before or right after RubeCon 2024. So it was during or right after. I think it was right after. And I remember talking to you and saying, hey, I wanted to do the flip in 90 days. So didn't quite reach that, but the 90 days gave me a push to try to hit that. So it didn't keep it dragging out too long. So
absolutely. And William, too, you know, I want to back up a little bit before you even get into to the steps, which I know our listeners really want to hear. Let's kind of talk about the why. Like, why did you want to do a flip at this point in your investing journey, man?
So
I know you bought like mobile home parks, you bought duplexes. I mean, you do plenty of things and you coach, but now you're doing a flip.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the why.
So really, it was an opportunity buy. I was looking at it saying, okay, well, one, I wanted multiple exit strategies when I saw the property, and it basically plopped in my lap because a couple of extra guys, other guys couldn't buy it and they wanted to buy it because it's in a really sought after area. And I was pretty much saying, well, if I do this, I can use what I would make off the property to either go purchase another house, or I can pay off a HELOC, I can pay off a good chunk of another house or refi, or use that money for some other means to grow or just something of that nature. So, and I looked at my bandwidth to be able to handle it, and it's close enough to my house where I decided that it's a small enough flip, small enough. It still took quite a few dollars and quite a little bit of time, but it was a small enough flip where I could manage it, still do what I'm doing every day with my handyman company to actually produce income for me to live on. And because I don't live off of my real estate income yet, I'm using that to just build up and continue to store that to purchase more properties. So my whole goal currently is not to live off of real estate income. And the flip was about the right size where I realized I could do this on the weekends and alter my own personal schedule to be able to handle that at the same time as everything else. So it was a very opportune buy. I went into it hoping that I was able to keep it as a long-term rental or do a refinance it and do a rent to own. But due to everything right now, it just didn't quite work out. I went kind of over that threshold on the rehab costs. And so my other option was to turn around and sell. And I think we hit the market. I was looking at the time frame of when I bought it to the time frame of when I wanted to complete it and it to go on market. And with it being an election year, the interest rates always drop right before election. So I figured it's going to hit the market about that time and it's not going to stick around really long, which is what I wanted. So
yeah, that's so true. It's all about the timing in the market, right? And I know some people says, you know, it's not about time in the market, it's about time in the market, which is so true. But I still believe that there's some aspects of timing that kind of work more in your favor, right? Yeah. Like when interest rates drop, you know, you tend to have more buying activity, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, totally.
And I would say that if I had paid any more for this house, it wouldn't have been worth it. But it's a 960 square foot house, single level, no basement, no stairs. It's all on a slab and it's very basic. It's not anything extreme. It's a 2-bed, 1-bath. So small, it's not big at all. But it was an absolute wreck. Like I had to kick the door in to get inside of it. Like literally windows were all busted out. I filled probably 5 40-yard dumpsters out of what was in and around this house. The toilet didn't work. The sewer was all backed up. It had been pumped, but there was a pump in the sewer that would take liquid waste and send it to the drain field. But the pump was gone and all kinds of other things that we found out later. And it was kind of a, I had to jump on this opportunity if I wanted it. And the way that it was presented to me was another guy who is in real estate, but he had just purchased his own house. And so he was a little cash dry and he called me and said, "Hey, this came to me. I can't buy it. Do you want it? This realtor has it and they're going to wholesale it," and they would do it, but they didn't have the bandwidth at the time either. So I drove by it because it's about 25 minutes from my house. I went and drove by it. And then I called my private money lender and said, "Hey, here's this house. And I know kind of the areas and projects that he would be okay financing." And I sent him the address, gave him the purchase price, which was $84,500. And for this area, it's a very sought after area. People want to live in this particular area a lot. So stuff doesn't really sit around long. And finding anything in this area less than $250,000 to buy is actually very hard to do. So my goal was to buy it, flip it, and hit that little niche like underneath $250,000 where somebody could actually afford the mortgage payment.
Absolutely.
So that's what I was trying to do if I ended up selling it. Again, if I could keep the expenses low enough as far as rehab costs, then I would end up keeping it as a long-term rental because it would rent probably within a couple of hours of listing it for rent.
It's a hot rental area, huh?
Very, very. And it's
I love how you thought about all of that before you bought it, because you know that's an awesome backup plan. Like maybe something could happen in the market where you know where you might need to rent it, right? And so having that as a solid backup plan is awesome.
Yeah.
But man, really, I really want to hear all the numbers, man. Let's talk about the numbers, like the purchase price, the rehab cost. I think it's good for you to share, you know, what you thought it was going to cost and what it actually cost.
Yeah, absolutely. That was kind of the big one. So my goal was to buy this, rehab it within 90 days of actually starting the work, not from originally it was from purchase, but I realized I bought it. I think it was the second or third week of March, and we just went on market last week. So it's only been up as of right now, it's September 7th. So it went up basically September 1st. So 5 months and some change roughly, I wanted to do it in 90 days. So I really wanted to do it in 3 months. And I knew that was ambitious going in because I've remodeled houses before and you always find something, and I was not spending my whole time there. So I was trying to balance all of this, and it helps that I have remodel experience and I know kind of what stuff costs and things of that nature. But original purchase price, $84,000. Private money lender brought 100% for purchase. He charged, I think, three points at 13%, which he set it up for me as interest only payment, which is great. But not only that, he said, "Pay me everything on the back end when you sell it." So I haven't actually sent him any money yet. But when we sell it, he's going to have a pretty decent chunk of some return. And all that is I explained my the way I wanted to do it and the two or three different options of my exit strategies. So that way he would be okay with lending on this particular property. And he knows the area really well also. So he had zero problems. I think it was either 4 or 7 days from looking at it to actually closing it. It was a very short period of time. And so the purchase price was $84,500. I'll pull my numbers up here so I can actually get these right. So purchase price, $84,500. There's a lot of numbers here, so I'll try to combine everything. Total plumbing for the whole house, we replumbed the kitchen and the bathroom entirely. We cut concrete and moved where the washer and dryer was. So we had to trench and move all of that stuff. That came out to about $12,000. The electrical work came out to about $4,500. We had to rerun all kinds of stuff. Fortunately, we didn't have to break into the drywall much, but there was some incredible wiring issues. That house was waiting to go up in flames. Brand new HVAC, that was about $6,000. New windows and installation was about $5,000. I think doors were included in that cost as well. So total construction miscellaneous supplies and repairs was about right about $20,000. Now, keep in mind, I was trying to do this for $40,000 and I expected it to go to $50,000, about $10,000 over budget. And then total kind of like exterior work.
Oh, okay. So this was just the interior that was $20,000.
Yeah, right? Roughly right okay. Around there. Okay. And then exterior work, staining, power washing, roofing, landscaping, gravel, gutters. The biggest problem that this house had was it had a cracked slab. So the one whole third of the slab of the house, the water had been dropping right off the roof and actually going underneath the house and eroding underneath the concrete slab. So it had actually dropped 2 inches under a third of the house. And so I had to call a foundation company to come out and assess and actually have them come out. And they lifted the whole thing with spray foam, which was pretty crazy. So they'd come in and they actually would drill through the concrete slab, put the spray foam in, lift it up, and then I put flooring over the top. So it was pretty neat, and I've never done it that way particularly before, but it worked really, really well. So that was something that wasn't really seen to begin with. So that was a surprise expense, and it was not really fun to have to pay that, but that's one of those things where that's a structural issue and it really has to be dealt with. And then we paid about $4,000 in dumpster and cleanup services, other miscellaneous expenses like insurance, bank fees. We had somebody come out and shoot some videos for me because that's not something I'm particularly skilled at. Was probably right around $450. And then I bought some of the guys that I hired to do some of the work, which I think is important to mention is I did not do all the work myself. So primarily what I did is I built the deck because I have experience doing that and I enjoy it, but I have a bunch of friends in the area that do construction remodeling also. And so they were able to come and do at labor cost only. So that way they could pay their guys and they use my job as a fill-in job. So they would send their guys to 1 day to 2 days and it would get them from job A to job B. And so I would be a filler job and they would just come and do the windows, do the doors. They did a whole lean-to off the side of the house. That's kind of like a lean-to porch, so to speak, right out the main door that you would go in and out of. And they're skilled. So they would just show up and they could produce mass amounts of work. What would take me a week and a half to 2 weeks, they would knock out in 2 days.
That's awesome, man. Like I remember too, I'm calling you some days and you'd be like, all right, Charles, like I got to go. I got some people coming to the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I remember those days.
Yeah, most definitely. And then the, of course, any septic work, I'm not going to mess with that because it requires excavators and I need a new pump installed. So the crazy thing about this place is it has two septic tanks. One actually takes care of all the waste. And then when it overflows, liquid waste goes into this other one. And when it gets to a certain point, it actually will pump it up a mountain. I kid you not, like 70, 80 yards where the actual drain field is. Just because of the way it's setting, it's on a mountain and there's a creek at the bottom. So you can't put the drain field too close to water. It has to have a certain amount of runoff. So that was a fairly expensive replacement as well that we were hoping the pump was okay and it just needed a new top of the tank. But unfortunately, it needed more than that. So that was the two surprises was the floor and the septic. And normally I would have done a more thorough inspection type thing, like just taken more time with that. But since this was all had to happen really quickly because the guy was going to get rid of it real fast, I took a little bit of a risk. And so I tried to build that into my cost if that needed to be redone. So those are really the two things that kind of took me over my budget overall. Other than that, we actually stayed on budget pretty decently.
That's awesome, William. That's awesome. And so, man, throughout this whole journey of this flip, what would you say was some of the biggest challenges you had, and you know, how did you break through those challenges during this flip?
So one of the biggest challenges originally was I didn't want to fund the entire remodel cost. So I had used private money for 100% of the purchase, and we've done several deals together. So we've really built that relationship, and he was gracious enough to say, hey, I think this will work better. Why don't you just pay me at the end when you flip it? Because I have confidence in your ability and confidence in the area that this is going to be a good property and you won't have any problem selling it. So I didn't want to fund the full rehab. So I actually went to a family member and asked, hey, here's the flip house. Here's the terms that I'd like to offer you. Can you give me 25 grand? So they gave me 25 grand of the remodel costs and I brought the remainder. And so out of that, what is that? I brought 40,000 of my own. So I guess that'd be 30. Right around 30 grand of my own. And then the remaining was somebody else's. But when I say my money, most of that was actually a unsecured line of credit that I had previously and I've already used and paid back. So I used that to cut checks to contractors, pay for the windows and the doors and all this other stuff. And
So now you said that was your biggest challenge at first, like trying to, you know, figuring out the funding. So I really want to kind of like, you know, drive that home because some of our listeners are listening right now and, you know, maybe they may be going through something similar with a flip and they don't know how they're going to get the money. Or maybe they might be running into big repair that come up on the existing properties. So I just love how, you know, you are creative and found different ways to make it happen. I'm hearing, you know, use a private lender, a business line of credit, and then sort of another private loan from family members. So I really want to stop right there to say, like, you know, there's so many ways to fund properties. And William and I we're going to talk about more of those ways in some more episodes as well. But I really want you all to look at William's situation and know that if William can do it, then you can do it too. Would you agree with that, William?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think most people, they look at something like that and the hardest thing is, where am I going to get the money for this? And it is most certainly a challenge. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. So it's all about building those relationships with other people and saying, hey, I have an investment opportunity. I kind of phrase it like that instead of saying, hey, can I borrow your money for X? Let me help you build some income or get you some return on your money that's just sitting there. And so that's super important. And there's tons of different ways that you may be able to access funds. Like if you have one or two properties or even one, I have the option of having a HELOC on my own personal property. So I could look at using the HELOC money to fund that rehab if needed. And then you could maybe do a cash out refinance on another thing. You could do a signature loan or a private loan. Yeah. So there's definitely some options out there. I think one of the biggest ones that people don't really think about when you're first starting out is going to a bank and getting an unsecured business line of credit. I got one 2 years ago and I use it for all kinds of repairs. And it's a little higher interest rate, but if I don't want to lose or like pull that out of my main business account, my main checking account, I'll just use that. And then I'll take whatever I need to out of the property over time to pay that off. And I'm just kind of, I make sure that's a priority for me. So that way it doesn't get away from me.
That's awesome, man. I love the strategies that you're tapping into. And I think there's so many ways that we can tap into these strategies to fund our investments, man. So William, is there anything else you would like to share about this whole experience with a flip that, you know, anything that made you a better breakthrough investor or just any words of encouragement that you would give our listeners from your story?
Yeah, I think as far as making me a better investor, one, it for the area that I'm living in and where I was doing it, it really kind of broke down what things actually cost. Like that's something that I know pretty decently, but it just kind of reinforced that So it helps every time you do one because you get better at judging what are the numbers going to be for doing a remodel. It actually made it so that way, if this house should sell for what I'm asking for it, the sale price hopefully is going to be $229 or right around there. So I already know kind of what I'm going to net for that. And if I net it, I know I have 2 to 3 options on what I can do with that money afterwards. So, and then I'm just going to use that money either to go find another flip potentially and build some more capital that way, or I'm going to take that and I'm going to pay some things off. So that way I have less outgo or more cash flow every month. So being able to look at the options available to me, it just highlights how many options I truly have. And most people have more than they think. And if you kind of are in that situation and you think that might be the case for you, where like, I feel like I should have more options, my advice is to go find somebody you trust and sit down and say, we have this house, da, 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 and give them all the numbers and let them say, well, the way I see it, you have this option with this, this option with this. And sometimes having that second or even third person look at your situation objectively, because they're not in it, really, really helps with giving you your options.
Yep. That's awesome, man. That's some good wisdom right there, William. Man, that's awesome. And so, and maybe when you do your next flip or whatever, like, we definitely need to share the numbers and the insights on it, because I think this is super helpful, because there are so many things you run into with these type of properties. So, oh, yeah. But I'm super excited. Like, so William and I, we're going to do some more episodes to kind of share some deals that we went through, and we're going to share some bad deals. Oh, yeah. Or you know, I don't like to say bad deal, because we try to buy right up front, but we all know that sometimes when you buy a property, sometimes things come up that you couldn't calculate or couldn't anticipate. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to share a lot more strategies and some insights that we did to become breakthrough investors. So I'm super excited for all that what we have in store for you all. And William, you know, why don't we do this? I you made an awesome video, or your editor made an awesome video of that journey, and maybe we could post that in the show notes.
Sure.
Our listeners can actually see, you know, put a picture to it. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, that'd be great. I really just want to encourage other people and kind of show that it can be done. And yeah, that'd be great. I have no problem putting that in the show notes.
Perfect. Awesome, man. Well, there you have it. So look out for that in the show notes. And we definitely want to stay in touch with you all. You all can reach us online on social media. So if you, William, I'll let you share your social media handle, and then I'll share mine after.
Awesome. That'd be great.
William, so what people can find you on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
Right?
So you can find me on Instagram, william.c.parmer. I believe it's 01 on Instagram. And then Facebook, be the same, William C. Parmer. Go ahead and shoot me a message. Happy to help out. And then, of course, you can always check us out at Master Passive Income for any coaching, if that's something you guys are interested in. And yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm Charles Roche Jr. on Facebook and Instagram, so you can reach out as well too. So awesome. Well, we will see you guys on the next one.
All right. See ya.